Good morning. Welcome to Living Beyond Limits. If you don't know, I'm Reverend Jennifer Speer. We are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. And it is my honor to welcome you this morning. I'm so glad that you have come to spend your morning with us and with each other. And if you are new today, from the very bottom of our hearts to yours, we're so glad that you joined us today. Welcome. And so we're going to begin the service today by reading our mission statement that's on the front of the bulletin. So I invite you to join me in that. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. That's really what we're doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is through the readings and through the talk and through the music, we are moving back into that place within us that remembers and knows that, yes, indeed, we are essentially spiritual beings, that we have come from that one, whether you call it God or Christ consciousness or Buddha nature, doesn't matter what you call it, that one infinite life, that one infinite presence, that we come from that. And not only do we come from that, but when we awaken to the fact that that is our essential nature, that what is true of that one is true of us, meaning that if God is peace, that peace is within us. If that infinite one is absolute intelligence and perfect knowing and wisdom, that means that is within us. If the very nature and essence of spirit is peace, then peace is within us. Because what happens is, as we come to recognize and feel and sense and remember that that is within us, then when we are out in the world and the world is not loving or peaceful or acting intelligent or whatever it is, we aren't as reliant on the world being that for us. We can tap into that within us. Oh yes, peace is already right here within me. And then we can bring peace into the conversation or the relationship or the situation, whatever it is. And as we do that, we become a healing presence. We become a healing presence in our own lives and in our own experience, as well as in that conversation or relationship. And because everything is connected to everything else, we actually affect the whole, like ripples on a pond. Who we are and how we are in the world goes out like ripples on the pond. And so as we awaken to our own spiritual nature, we automatically become a beneficial presence in this world, because we automatically come with more kindness and more love and more generosity, standing in our own wholeness and our own power. So we come to the world differently, and we come as a blessing. And so I thank every single one of you, really, from the bottom of my heart, for answering this call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be bringing that goodness into this world, and for making a positive impact. Thank you to each and every single one of you. You know, I don't think that there is a person in the world this week that is not absolutely heartbroken over the devastation and the loss of innocent lives taken by the militant group Hamas in Israel and the consequent war that is going on. It's heartbreaking. And not just is that happening, but here we just had the one-year anniversary of the war in the Ukraine. Who would have thought? We talked about it was going to go on for a couple of weeks, and that there are 108 armed conflicts that are going on in the world right now. And the result of that is us feeling heavy-hearted. And not just do we feel heavy-hearted, but sometimes we can also feel really disempowered and helpless and hopeless to do anything to bring peace to that conflict or to bring peace to this world. Simply said, we just don't know what to do besides worry and to be angry and be heartbroken. I read a Gallup poll this week that said, globally, experiences of negative emotions such as sadness, worry, stress, and anger are at their highest level in more than a decade of measurement. Across the world, people are feeling this. And we all want to be able to do something to contribute to peace, to help bring peace into this world. And so I read a story this week also that says, in the Jewish tradition, at least 10 people are required to attend a funeral, a minyan, to fulfill Jewish custom. This week, a family of a 24-year-old woman who was killed by Hamas militants at a music festival went online and asked if 10 people could attend her funeral because the family had just moved to Israel and didn't know many people. 10,000 people showed up for her service. We all want to live in peace. We want to have peace within ourselves and peace in our lives and peace in all countries and peace in the world. And because we know inside of ourselves that we are part of this one human family, we are part of that collective beingness of humanity, we want everyone to live in peace and everyone to have peace in the world. Carolyn Reynolds reminds us that there is no such thing as private good. We are all connected in an intricate web of the life force. Therefore, what harms one ultimately harms all, and what is good for one ultimately is good for all. We know that on a soul level, and because of that, we want to help. We want to be able to make a difference. We want to have influence in the world. What if we can? And what if we actually do have influence in the world? The title of my talk today is International Peace. And I'm talking about that peace begins in our own hearts and in our own minds and begins at home. That if we want to live in a world that is more peaceful, there are two different things that we can do. We can, one, do the work in consciousness. That means to do affirmative prayer and to do visualization and to purposefully create that energy of peace within ourselves and to allow it to permeate our beingness and then to recognize that same peace is present everywhere. That peace is everywhere. The energy of that peace is available and present everywhere in this world. We can also do affirmative prayer and feeling and recognizing unity and understanding and love, knowing that there are divine resolutions in that wisdom of that divine presence that lives in every single one of us. Seeing that, feeling that. That's what Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, called creating a mental equivalent. Creating the thoughts and the feelings inside of ourselves of what we want to experience out there so that that can be acted upon by that invisible law and come into form in this material world. We create the feeling of what it is that we want inside of ourselves. So I heard a story, you may have heard this a long time ago, by Greg Braden. He says, back in the early 90s, I was living in the high desert of northern New Mexico. This was during one of the worst droughts that the Southwest had ever recorded. The elders and the native Pueblos said that as far back as they could remember, they'd never gone so long without rain. David, a native friend of mine from one of those nearby Pueblos, called me one summer morning and asked if I wanted to join him in visiting a place his ancestors had built where we would pray for rain, or where he would pray for rain. I agreed, and soon we were hiking through hundreds of acres of high desert sage. He led me to a place where there was a stone circle that reminded me of a medicine wheel. Each stone had been placed precisely by the hands of his ancestors long ago. I had an expectation of what I thought I was going to see, but my friend simply removed his hiking boots, then stepped with his naked feet into the stone circle. The first thing he did was honor all of his ancestors. Then he held his hands in a prayer position in front of his chest, turned his back to me, closed his eyes. Less than a minute later, he turned around and said, "I'm hungry. Let's go get a bite to eat." Surprised, I said, "I thought you were going to pray for rain. I'd been expecting to see some chanting and dancing." He looked at me and said, "No, if I prayed for rain, the rain could never happen." When I asked him why, he said, "It's because the moment you pray for something to occur, you've just acknowledged that it's not existing in that moment." When you're asking in prayer for something, you're saying to yourself, it's not present. And you may actually be denying the very thing you'd like to bring forward in your prayers. Well, if you didn't pray for rain just now, when you closed your eyes, what is it that you did? He said, "When I closed my eyes, I felt the feeling of what it feels like after there's been so much rain that I could stand with my naked feet in the mud of my Pueblo village. I smelled the smells of rainwater rolling off the earthen walls of our homes. I felt what it feels like to walk through a field of corn that is chest high because of all the rain that had fallen. In that way, I planted a seed for possibility of that rain, and I give gratitude and thanks in appreciation." That's creating that mental equivalent, creating the feelings inside of what it is that we want to experience. And so we aren't asking for peace in our own lives or peace in the world. Instead, what we're doing is we are creating the energy of peace inside of ourselves, planting seeds of possibility so that it might come into form in the world. And then the second thing that we can do is actually just to create peace in our own lives, to create peace in our thinking, to create peace in our words, in our actions, in what we do, and in our own lives. Because I think we forget sometimes that we are all a part of this collective consciousness of humanity. We live in this energetic pool that contains all of the thoughts and all of the feelings and all of the experiences of humanity, the collective consciousness. We forget that we live in that, and when we talk about it, we know that we are affected by it. For instance, when it's cold season, everyone is focused on that it's cold season, and you might get a cold, and the TV's bombarding you with advertisements for cold medicine, and people are talking about it, makes us, believing that, makes us more susceptible to getting a cold. So we are asked to do the work in consciousness, to do the work in our affirmative prayer that wholeness is who I am, that the power and presence of the infinite and all its intelligence is working in my body in perfect harmony and in perfect order, so that we know something else besides that it's cold season, which helps us not be as vulnerable. And so we know that we are affected by that collective consciousness like that, but we also are always, in every moment, we are adding to that collective consciousness of humanity. So we're not only affected by it, but we are affecting it also. And you know that everything is energy, everything is vibration, and so everything is a part of that and is exposed to it and moved by it. And so when we create peace within ourselves, when we create positive energy within ourselves or love within ourselves, we are then adding that to that collective. And so I think that we are really called to do both, to do the work in consciousness of creating that energy of peace and creating peace in our own lives and in our own thinking and in our own activities. So I have a question for you. What do you think is more important? Do you think it's more important to think positively or to not think negatively? What do you think? What'd you say? No, the answer is it is more impactful to not think negatively. You know, every time we think negatively, we drag ourselves down. Think about that. It's like that inner critic. It's the villain inside of us that thinks negatively all the time. When we think negatively, it drags us down. It makes us feel bad. It drains our energy. It lowers or inhibits our creativity, which includes new creative ideas of ways to solve problems or find solutions. And it adds more negative energy to that collective consciousness that I'm talking about, to that energetic field that we are living in. That negative has a low vibration and adds that to that vibratory field. When we are negative and thinking negatively, it just creates more strife and more angst and more negativity to that collective field. When in turn we could be instead elevating it and bringing more peace to it and more love to it. I read this week that 70% of our negative thinking is unconscious. We're not even aware that we're doing it. And so I'm actually going to talk today about five things, ways that we participate in negative thinking so that we can stop that negative thinking and do something different instead, so that we can turn it around and make a change. And so, because as you know, as we turn that negative thinking around, we will automatically be more peaceful and be adding more peace to that collective. And so the first way that we participate in that negative thinking is by complaining. You know, you complain about your boss, you complain about your neighbor, you complain about your spouse, you complain about the weather. Dennis Merritt Jones says, we can put whatever tempts us to complain about into one of two categories. Either it's an issue we can and therefore should do something about, or it's beyond our control and we should release it. Whenever we chronically complain about the same thing, we are granting it permission to remain unchanged in our experience. Complainers are powerless. Complaining keeps us in victimhood. It says there's nothing I can do about this, or I'm not willing to do anything about this. Keeps us stuck in feeling like a victim. It disempowers us from making changes, and it adds more negative energy to the environment. And so if there is something you can do about that thing that you complain about, do it. If there's a change you need to make, make the change. If there's nothing you can do about it, like the weather, let it go rather than adding negative energy into your environment. The second way we participate in negative thinking is by commiserating. You know, somebody else is complaining about something and you get on the bandwagon with them and talk about how terrible this thing is. Or sometimes you even add on top of it, well, you should see what happened to me, and you add your terrible thing. So you're both commiserating about something. You've just doubled the negative energy. I think that sometimes we commiserate with people as a way to connect with them. I think sometimes we commiserate with people so they feel heard. And I think we commiserate so people know that we care. We care about what's going on with them. But you know what? Commiserating doesn't lighten their load. It doesn't make it easier. It doesn't resolve the problem. But instead, what everybody really wants, everyone wants compassion. And they want to know that someone cares. So the next time someone is complaining to you, rather than commiserating with them, what if instead you said, I hear you, and I hear that that's hard for you. Is there something I can do to help? Imagine that scenario just for a second in your mind. Someone's complaining to you. I hear you. Is there anything I can do to help? What do you think they do? I think it shifts the energy, and I think it takes them into their heart, and they're like, oh my gosh, thank you. There's nothing you can do but thank you for caring. I think that's where it moves us, which is really what they want in the first place, is to feel loved and cared about and supported and kindness. That's what they're really looking for. They don't know it, but that's what they're really looking for. The third thing that we do you do this? Catastrophizing. You know, something happens and we imagine the worst possible outcome that can happen when this thing is happening. We make a mountain out of a molehill, or we blow things entirely out of proportion. You know, you went for that job interview and you didn't get that job, and in turn you start telling yourself, I'm never going to find a job. And then I'm going to end up in poverty, and then I'm probably going to end up homeless. Wow! Or a relationship ends that you're in and you say, oh my gosh, I'm never going to have a relationship. In fact, nothing's going to work out for me. I'm just a big loser. And I'm probably unlovable anyway. And we start thinking it's about us and make this huge story up. Here's my favorite one. You have a headache that goes on for several days in a row, and you're convinced that you must have a brain tumor. Does anyone do that kind of thing? You're waiting for a lab result and you run down the road of how horrible this is going to be, and it's nothing. That's catastrophizing. And so the call for us is to practice mindfulness, to notice when we are catastrophizing. And one of the things that you can do when you notice that you're catastrophizing is to ask yourself, can I really know for 100% that what I'm telling myself is true? And when you can't, stop telling yourself that story and ask yourself what else might be true. Oh, the results might come back that it's nothing. Oh, I might meet somebody next month when I go to this function. Lots of possibilities. The fourth one, there's five, the fourth one is concern, which really means getting caught up in concern, which is really about getting caught up in worry. You all know worrying never solved a problem in this entire world. I love Mark Twain had a quote. He says, I've had a lot of worries in my life, most of which never happened. Actually, there was a Cornell University study that says 85% of what people worried about never happened. 85% of what we worry about never happens. So stop it. My invitation to you is to practice mindfulness, to notice when you're participating in negative thinking, when you are amplifying that negative energy within yourself through complaining, through commiserating, through catastrophizing, through getting caught up in concern and worry, and through criticizing. Notice it and stop yourself. There's no like magic tool to use. You just have to stop yourself. You notice it. I started this a week ago, practicing this. I noticed how much I complain in my head, not even to someone else. Stop it. Takes awareness and it takes commitment. But do it as a way to create greater peace in the world, because it begins at home. If you can't create peace in yourself, and if you can't create peace in your home, can't create peace in your life, you can't expect there to be peace in the world. It doesn't work that way. So create peace within yourself. And so that second thing too is to visualize and affirm and create the feelings in yourself of peace and spread that out to the world. Do affirmative prayer. Do affirmative prayer for peace in the world and for unity and for love, for compassion, for understanding, and create peace in your own life. And as a result of that, we will all be adding greater peace to the world, to that field that we live in, and creating greater peace within yourself and within your own life. Thank you. And so I have a couple of opportunities as a way for you to participate in this family. One is that we are doing a community outreach the last Sunday of this month. We are going at 10:30 on that Sunday morning. We're not doing service, so whoever wants to come, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. We're going to Ronald McDonald House and cooking a meal for the people that are staying there. So if you don't know about Ronald McDonald House, it is parents of children who are in the children's hospital across the street that need to go see them every day. So they actually stay there for free. People contribute and donate food and donate all kinds of stuff. The support is just incredible. So we're going to do that as a community outreach. You can sign up to do shopping ahead of time. You could sign up to cook that day, or you could sign up to partially financially sponsor it. But please sign up today. We need to know how many people are interested to do that. So no service on the 29th. Really, that's it. We have prayer support. If you would like prayer, the practitioners are happy to pray with you. Will you raise your hand if you're a practitioner? Are happy to sit down and pray with you. We have a ministry of prayer box in the back. You can fill out a prayer request and we will support you during the week. We have prayer shawls that if you would like to be wrapped in that energy of prayer, the shawls have been created in that energy of prayer and the practitioners will pray over it for your specific desire so that you can take it and gift it to someone or to gift it to yourself. To follow us on social media, our accounts are listed here and our talks come out on Mondays and they're on YouTube. Share them with your friends. I invite you to repeat after me. The love and light of spirit are within me now.
The love and light of spirit are within me now.
I own it and I share it.
I own it and I share it.
I am it.
I am it.
I am a beneficial presence.
I am a beneficial presence.
And so it is.